Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for coming. So today I'm going to present the Community Knowledge Project, which is a group of cross-disciplinary scholar activists dedicated to social change in various community projects in Orange County and beyond. We are part of an international movement of community participation in health research, broadly defined. And today I'm going to present to you our interpretation and application for community participation in research, where we've been, where we are now, and where we're going. And we have no relationships to disclose. So the Community Knowledge Project was founded by Dr. Michael Montoya at the University of California at Irvine. And these are our core values: community, knowledge, and research action. Community is a verb. It is created through human activity with one another and their surroundings. It happens when neighbors stop to chat, when they pick up each other's kids from school. And it is the connection that also occurs when researchers spend time listening to activists and local experts, and when local knowledge makers question and thereby transform university knowledge practices. The latter can only occur under conditions of interdependence, radical trust in the local expertise, and when university researchers attempt to translate their knowledge into research action. Knowledge. In Spanish, the knowledge of the Community Knowledge Project translates into science. However, the term science does not really convey, at least in English, the spirit of the Community Knowledge Project. Knowledge in this vein is more akin to understanding, which entails a mutual recognition and comprehension of similar terms, concepts, and languages. However, understanding also requires a connection that only can come from community. Research action. So a knowledge project can be a catalyst for community. It involves gathering information, formally and informally, in order to define the reasons for coming together, the kinds of meaningful actions that are necessary, and the imagined results of activities. Research action conveys an orientation towards knowledge making that requires continual investment in community and a radical faith in the power of community. A test of any knowledge project that embodies the research action principles is that when a project ends, people should feel loss, not relief. So in this project, we adapt Lynn Morgan's insight that involving community in research entails both pragmatism and activism, which necessarily entails conflict between achieving immediate goals and outcomes and altering the unhealthy structures that perpetuate ill health. We believe this conflict to be both necessary and productive, and thus practice research and action that actively creates the reflexive space to address these tensions. People often think of conflict as negative or bad, but the Community Knowledge Project team recognizes that conflicts are nodes of possibility, especially in addressing community problems. They become inevitable pressure points for understanding and problem solving. For example, in one of the communities that we're working in that I'll be presenting today, the community has a few good parks for physical activity and for play, but there's been a lack of proper lighting for these parks. So come winter time, the parks become fairly dangerous to play in after hours. Well, this lack of lighting led to community-wide mobilization for improved youth programming to improve health, reduce crime, and improve safety. Ciclo Sección is a method that we've developed. And what it really is, are networks of people who join together to make positive changes within community. Another way to think about it is that they are really community spaces for reflection and action, where ideas and experiences are shared and productive conflict leads to transformative action. Academically, it's an experimental process that maintains a radical faith in the capacity for people to address their own community's needs. It's not an imposition of outside ideas and prescriptions for change. It's pragmatist because it recognizes that there are already movements, organizations, and people committed to social change in various communities. It does not want to start another movement, rather, but provide a space for community actors to engage. Each círculo is an expansion of the one preceding it, always drawing in more participation. And it also recognizes that those in power need to be engaged and need to be given direction. It's activists as well, because it aims to tackle assumptions that have been imposed upon the poor and the sick regarding health. It aims to convince people that lived conditions affect health. For example, that type 2 diabetes is not a genetic condition that only Latinos get. Rather, it is a manifestation of stressors imposed upon certain communities. So this is sort of a a concept model to explain kind of how this works. We began with a series of dialogues of community members using what looks like on the surface focus group methodology. The first project we engaged in emerged out of a recognition that a community in North Orange County, Santa Ana, was facing a number of health and social justice concerns, including a high incidence of asthma, diabetes, overweight, and obesity. Further, several of these concerns were not well recognized or even properly defined. So we invited a group of people to a meeting to discuss health issues facing Santa Ana. Invited were people who at least worked in Santa Ana as activists and nonprofit organizations. About 10 people who we labeled insider-outsiders, I guess the mouse isn't working, as you can see in the first circle, attended our first gathering, which then doubled with two subsequent circulos, in which was comprised of members of the first and their invited guests, individuals who actually lived within the community of Santa Ana who we labeled insiders. Plans for a third iteration involving policymakers are in the making. And these were essentially the questions that facilitated our discussion. So more than a focus group, this is a community dialogue inspired by Freirean notions of reflection and action. In Santa Ana, and the case that we will present in detail in a moment, there was already a lot of action, but little time or space for reflection, let alone coordination and conceptual and practical integration of activities across issues, organizations, and levels of analysis. So I now want to talk about a different case where we use Círculos de Acción. This occurred in the city of Fullerton, which is close to Santa Ana in North Orange County. The Community Knowledge Project partnered with a private hospital, St. Jude's Medical Center, to essentially reassess the health assessment that had been conducted on their catchment area. Every 3 years, the Orange County Health Needs Assessment, a randomized telephone survey that asks participants questions about health needs, is conducted. Hospitals like St. Jude's use this data to help develop their programming, particularly for high-risk neighborhoods. St. Jude's was concerned that the survey was underestimating some of the health needs in certain communities. And our team partnered with them and a neighborhood group to reassess the data in one particular neighborhood in their catchment area known as Valencia. Here are some of the findings from the healthcare survey. Low income here refers to families that earn less than $25,000 per year, and high income refers to families that earn $76,000 per year or more. In addition to the almost 40% of low-income adults that lack health insurance, as compared to the 1.6% of high-income adults that were surveyed, 93% of the adults who said they didn't have health insurance said that the reason that they didn't have it was because they could not afford it. And also, not only did 21% of low-income adults rate their health as fair or poor as compared to only 2% of high-income adults, but 8% of low-income parents rated their children's health as fair or poor as compared to only 0.1% of high-income parents. And you can see here that obesity was an overwhelming problem that was represented in the healthcare needs assessment data, with 49% of low-income parents considering their children to be overweight as compared to only 5% of high-income parents. And these numbers from self-reports seem to be a slight underestimate when we actually looked at BMI data. So we started with becoming more acquainted with the group of community residents, a neighborhood organization known as the Valencia Task Force. We asked them how they defined their neighborhood, and they quickly came to a consensus that gave us the major intersections that bounded their community. And next came our assets and challenges mapping. We asked them what were their strengths, what are the strengths or the assets of their neighborhood? What is everyone really proud of? And you may notice here that much of what was included in this list is fairly structural. And what we gathered a sense of was that this community also had a very strong parental force, with several mothers and fathers involved in community leadership. There was a lot of pride expressed in the Valencia Task Force, which one member said was the eyes and ears of the community. The task force has been able to participate in City Hall and St. Jude's Medical Center planning, and we sense a lot of hope, personal potential, community connection, sense of family, and investment in health. When we asked what the challenges were to living and working here, and the top hindrances to community health and well-being, here's some of the answers that we got. Crowded living was mentioned first, and its relation to high rents in the area. A lack of positive programming for youth was tied to problems with youth delinquency, drug addiction, and obesity. Crime was touted as a health problem. Police officers in the city, as in many, rotate about every 6 months or so, giving residents little time to form connections with them. However, we then asked the participants to rate the assets and challenges. they mentioned on a scale of 1 to 10, which is a preliminary way to quantify how the community saw itself at a snapshot. And of course, this is not a random sample. But notice that they are almost 2 times more proud of their community than worried. This tool brought us to ask the empirical question, what role does serving on the task force actually have in creating this ratio? And further, if we asked other communities, how would they respond to the same question? In addition, at our first meeting with the task force, the group asked us for a demographic and health profile of their community, what the official expert indices on health and demographics were. We realized that the health needs assessment data could provide an excellent material to present to residents for critique and reflection, and that's what we did. We digested that material and created a handout for them to review. So here's what we found. So in the first column, we have survey data, and then the next column, we have how the residents reflected and whether they thought these numbers were an over or underestimate. And as you can see here, in every case, in every indicator, the residents thought that the healthcare needs assessment, which was already identifying some overwhelming health needs, was underestimating the real problems. In addition, we found that to be true with some of the health outcomes, such as overweight and diabetes prevalence. In fact, when we asked residents, does this number, 92.4%, look right in terms of percentage of families who had taken their child to a medical center in the past year? And most of them, a number of them laughed and said, well, yeah, sure, if there's an emergency, like somebody falls and cuts themselves or breaks a bone. So we responded to the assets and challenges mapping activity with finding data, spending labor, thought, and time, creating a handout, and coming back to the community to ask them to reflect on these data points. Not here's the data, now you know, but here's the data, what do you think? And these are some of the campaigns that the task force came up with to focus on. We are continuing to partner with them to help make these research action steps happen. So what have we learned? Well, many things. sampling would be that there are innovative ways to join with community to solve problems. That might sound obvious, but it's not always done this way, as we all know. That outsiders such as ourselves can act as catalysts for facilitating that change. Important premises, we cannot know the outcomes in advance. This is, to me, one of the most important premises. In addition, that the community is already powerful to begin with, and we need to bring to communities that notion. And finally, that continued sustainable community engagement is crucial for any effective intervention. There's a serious need for open communication channels, and we're continuing to find that engagement really leads to empowerment. Just a couple of thoughts about community-based participation versus design. We recognize the intrinsic differences between conventional and community-based research, but we propose taking community engagement one step further. That is, expanding the concept of community-based participatory research action to actually making community. So our futures as researchers are not separate from our futures as members of community of advocates addressing local needs. So we feel the Community Knowledge Project has evolved from research to research and action that weds pragmatism and activism in the form of civic engagement and community advocacy, creating productive conflict. As many people, I'm sure, in this room have observed, the idea is not to create projects, but to join in partnerships with those resourceful community makers who work to improve the fundamental structural barriers to healthy living. So our method entails the radical faith in people to make healthy community. As such, it is scalable and topically flexible. We presented one neighborhood example here today, but Dr. Montoya has deployed this practice at the level of organizations at a recent national convening of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Creating a space of reflection on the assets and challenges attends to the tensions and conflicts between those who want immediate outcomes and those who seek lasting structural changes. Integration across issues, across regions or neighborhoods, disciplines, professions, across ethnic, religious, and educational divides, making community powerful takes CBPR out of the academy and into the streets. I just really quickly want to acknowledge our project team and thank our partners, and thank all of you for attending. And I would like to invite you to visit our website. If you have time, we actually have a 5-minute video that we produced called Community is a Verb. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Erin. Next, we're going to hear from Amy Carroll Scott.